Hello, hello, ladies of no BS. Let's get this party started, shall we? Let's see. Hi, I'm Coach Lizzie. Welcome to Lizzie After Dark. Just kidding. This is the nighttime meeting call, which is, just as fun. But I figure if normally this is the time that I would be having my pajamas on, we might as well have a good time, right? For the record, those of you listening on replay, I'm not wearing my pajamas. But stick around long enough, you never know. Hi, let's talk nighttime eating, shall we? Yes. Hey, Lori. Hey, Jean. All right, Christy's here. This is fantastic. This is a live coaching call, so please raise your hands for live coaching and we'll just have a good time, have some good chats. As I am waiting for people to raise their hands, I did a little, learning today, not learning, refreshing, really. I went through Corinne's nighttime eating course and just listened to some of the content again because, it's really good. And, just kind of want to refresh my thoughts. Always a great idea if there's something that you wanted to refresh your thoughts on. Whether it's the lose 10 pounds by New Year's or emotional eating, nighttime eating, all kinds of things. I mean, how many great courses are there in OBS, right? So, like I said, please go ahead and raise your hand. Otherwise, this is going to be a pretty brief coaching call. But here are some of the things that I pulled out from just re-listening to the nighttime eating course. One of the things that Corinne talks about is like, to think of nighttime eating, and this like blew my mind. Think of nighttime eating as your body's love letter to yourself. What? Right? How many times have you thought, yes, my nighttime eating is my love letter to myself? I mean, maybe, certainly it's comforting, but usually we look at it from a place of judgment and shame and why do I keep doing this? When really, if you think about it, the nighttime eating is not a problem. It's a signal, just like any kind of emotional eating. It's not a problem. It's a signal. It's a signal saying, hey, I need something. And your body's like, there's a need. Let's fill it. And so it says, I know how we meet this need. Food has done the trick for decades. So yeah, let's go for that, right? It's a good choice. It works quickly. And so when you think about it from that perspective, that it's not a character flaw, it's not a weakness, it's simply your body trying to help you. It's trying to help you meet a need. That's all it is. And so when you begin to get curious about nighttime eating, nighttime drinking, using gummies, whatever it is that is showing up for you, that's a challenge that you want to kind of help, get some help working on. That's what's going on is that your body and your brain are trying to meet a need. And it's a coping tool. Just like Chrissy says, like it's a skill. It's coping with, the pressures of life. And maybe you have really made some progress with your nighttime eating, nighttime drinking, using gummies, CBD, whatever it is, and then something comes along. Mom gets sick. Spouse, partner loses their job. And suddenly you've got all kinds of new stresses and new worries. And it's like, I thought I had kicked this habit and here it is again. What's wrong with me? Nothing's wrong with you. I like to use the analogy that our habits are like subway tracks in our brain. And if you think about it, little science here for you. When neurons connect in the brain, they put this sort of protein sheath around it called myelin, and it creates a tube. And like I said, I like to think of it like a subway track. So if you think about your old habit, it's like a subway track in your brain. When the Department of Transportation comes along, let's say in New York City or some other place that has subways, they say, all right, we're going to build a new line. Instead of the red line, we're going to make the blue line. And the blue line is amazing and it goes to all the special places. And the red line is now no longer in use. Well, it's not like it disappeared. It's still there. It's just gathering dust and cobwebs. Same thing's happening in your brain. Your old habit pattern is still there. It's just not being used as often. It's just gathering some dust. And that new fancy blue line, that new habit that you're working on in your brain, it's getting some good use. You're like, I've got this. This is great. And then suddenly something comes along and your nervous system is like, eee, this, I'm a little bit outside of my window of tolerance. Like I said, it can be anything from my mother-in-law's visiting to my spouse has lost their job to I just had a rough day. Anytime your nervous system is like, I need some support, I need some help, it wants to feel safe. And the thing about feeling safe is it's not really what actually helps us reach our goals. It's what feels familiar. Familiarity and safety are effectively the same thing in terms of your brain. And so that old red subway line, that subway track is familiar. And your brain's like, you know what? That's familiar. It feels safe. Let's go down that path. And suddenly your old habits come sneaking back in, and you're like, what's wrong with me? Nothing. It's just your brain being your brain. So it's really normal. That happens. So another thing that Corinne talked about in the nighttime eating call, excuse me, nighttime eating course, was to just drop the judgment. Like there's so much judgment that we have of ourselves. It's just one positive step you make from this call or this course or even through this holiday season is that you stop judging yourself for your patterns. That in itself is a win. There was a Ask Coaches question recently where somebody was feeling really guilty and judging themselves for wanting a glass of wine at night. And like, first of all, like I want a glass of wine every single night, right? And so the question that they came with was like, it's about the alcohol. And the thought was really, is it really about the alcohol or about how you're judging yourself for wanting it? It's like, of course you would want it. It is something that has worked in the past. It's something that your brain craves. It's a habit, it's a pattern. Why is it so bad and wrong for you to want it? Well, mostly because like our culture has created a lot of thoughts and beliefs and systems around it. And so if you can question those thoughts, that can be like, I think it's bad, but that's a thought. It's not a fact. Person A can think it's bad to have wine at night, and person B can be like, it's fine. And so it's not a fact. And so if you can drop the judgment, same thing. Person A can think it's bad to have chocolate at night, and person B can be like, what? I have it every night. It's no big deal. And so that's not a fact. And so if you can question your beliefs around it, then you can drop the judgment and start to get curious. Just a heads up, y'all. I got no hands raised so far. Unless, something Zoom's not working and it's not showing me the hands raised. I only have about like 3 or 4 more minutes of things to talk about. So go ahead and raise your hands. The other thing that we were talking, or I was learning, refreshing of in the nighttime eating course was that like nighttime eating is all about figuring out why. Why am I eating? What do I need underneath? 9 times out of 10, probably 9.5 times out of 10, you're not eating because you're hungry at nighttime. Because generally, we had dinner. And so, if we're eating after dinner or overeating dinner, it's not about hunger. So, what's the why? What's the reason underneath? What's the need you're meeting? Is it about I'm tired and I need a break? Is it I deserve a reward. I crushed it today, or I worked hard today. I deserve it. Or is it this is the one chance where I'm saying yes to me all day? Figure out why. Why are you wanting the food? If your body doesn't need any more fuel, what need is that urge meeting? And speaking of urges, urges are not going away. Urges are not the problem. A lot of times I think we tell ourselves this kind of fallacy that normal eaters don't have urges, or even if they do, that they make them no big deal. Like normal eaters have urges. Normal eaters have thoughts of like, I want it, I deserve it, I should have it. The difference is they have a different conversation. They ping pong it, and they don't ping pong it just once. They keep ping ponging it of like several different times. Like I expected this urge to come along. I was prepared for it. I know that having the food is going to taste good in the moment, but it's not going to fix what I'm feeling. It's not going to fix what I am feeling frustrated about, worried about, and so forth. And so be curious about that urge. And lastly, remember the down process, which Corinne talked about in the nighttime eating course, which is D, don't eat yet. And yet is important. You might still end up eating, and that's fine. Just give yourself a pause. Don't eat yet. O, observe the urge. Where is it in your body? For me, my urges tend to show up in my chest and my shoulders, weirdly. But I'm like, okay, how, well, like on a scale of 1 to 10, how intense is it? Usually it's like a 4. It's not that intense. It's all up in my head. It's intense, but in my body, it's like, eh, like I'd like it. But it's much more mental than physical. If you can like tap into what your physical body is doing, that can really help you get curious about what is this physical sensation? How is it showing up in my body? And then witness what happens, particularly if you shift your focus, like shift your focus towards something else for 5 minutes. Again, it's don't eat yet. Give yourself a timer, 5 minutes. I'm going to shift my focus. I'm going to do my puzzle for 5 minutes. I'm going to scroll TikTok for 5 minutes. And then after 5 minutes, recheck in with your body. Where has that urge, how has it shifted in your body? Is that vibration? Is that tension still in your chest, in your shoulders, your stomach, whatever? Is it still a 4? Is it a 6? Is it a 2? Just check in. And then finally, N, notice how much progress you have made. I gotta tell you, that has been one of my things with some of my habits that are the trickiest and the stickiest, the hardest to make progress on. That's what has made so much difference. It's noticing how much progress I've made, because the progress I've made sometimes feels like not even inches. It feels like millimeters. It feels like so little progress. And yet, the night after, excuse me, the day after a night where I was not proud of my choices, I can look and be like, that wasn't great. I'm not thrilled with how, with where I am, but I'm better than I was 2 years ago. And that has really, really made a big difference. So notice how much progress you have made. Okay, we have some hands raised. Thank you, my friends. We got Audrey and then Cheryl and then Zoom user who might be Wanda. I don't know. We'll see. But first, we're talking to Audrey.
Hey.
Hey, Audrey.
We haven't seen you in a while.
I know, it's so good to
Well,
see you.
you haven't seen me.
How is your little one?
The
Yeah.
grandbabies, 2 years old and 7 months old.
Wow,
Busy,
amazing.
busy, busy.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
All you have to do is tell me nobody's hands up once, and I'm taking advantage of it.
Bring
I
it,
don't
let's
even know
go.
what tonight's call is, but I'm taking it. It's a overeating, overdrinking call.
It is whatever is on your mind.
Okay. And at some point, I want to get the down, but apparently I can't spell it. I wrote don't. I want to get the down words. I mean, I
Want
can
me
go
to
back.
say the down process again?
If you don't, if you have time.
Oh, girl, I got all the time for you. All right. Hey, where did it go? It's in my notes here. Okay. D is don't eat yet. O is observe the urge. So, like, what is it doing in your body? Personally, I like to rate it, the intensity, on a scale of 1 to 10.
Okay.
W is witness what happens in your body when you shift your focus. So, that's like, go do something else for 5 minutes and then recheck in, witness what has changed or not about the urge.
And then notice something.
N is notice how much progress you've made.
Well, the one I need to mark on the notice. Okay. What I have found, I guess just in the last week or two. Now, granted, I took a steroid. I have RA, so every once in a while I have to take a steroid. I have been hungry at night. Oh, okay, wait, no. I've been eating at night
Okay.
after dinner. And I have been hungry probably most of the time.
Okay.
Actually, Christy and I were chatting about this in one of the pages. I had gotten to where, especially after the emotional eating course and the nighttime eating course, I had gotten to where I am no longer an emotional eater. And I am no longer eating at night.
Wow.
So now I'm focusing on the candy challenge. Doing pretty good. Went to a banquet thing today, Veterans Day kind of thing. And I made up my mind before I left the house. What is Velvet Rope dessert? If
Okay.
there's cheesecake there, I'll get some. Otherwise, unless something pops off the table and screams Velvet Rope, we're not getting any. There was cheesecake. After about three bites, I had a sugar headache.
Wow.
Did the MJ, took my napkin, wiped it on my shoe, and put it over my food.
Nice.
But so I am getting there. But I've noticed since I've been working on the candy challenge, I'm going back into the nighttime eating. It starts off hunger, and then it becomes like emotional slash boredom slash it starts off emotional and then it's like mindless.
Okay, give me a little bit more context. So, candy challenge is happening at what time of day?
I'm usually eating that at noon, like with my lunch.
Okay.
And
So,
it's
what?
working.
Great. Nighttime eating is, and you say you're hungry for it. When is that happening?
About 3 or 4 hours after dinner.
Dinner's what time?
Five-ish.
Okay, so what, we're talking 8, 9 o'clock?
Right, which is also my bedtime. And
Okay.
the time change is really, it usually takes me 2 weeks to get adjusted. I go
Okay.
to bed really early. I'm usually sound asleep before 9.
Well, if you heard the beginning of this call, like normally I'm in my pajamas, so you and me both,
Oh,
honey.
yeah.
Okay, so you're getting hungry 8, 9 o'clock.
Which kind of makes sense.
PA to 5. Yeah. What's the problem? Is
The
it
problem is I'm not stopping. It
Let me
becomes.
back up. What is preventing you from going to bed, even if you're like a little bit hungry?
I mean, I really am sitting there thinking, are you hungry? Do you want broccoli? Doing the whole thing. Two or three nights, I just drank a protein shake because I was like, maybe I'm not getting enough protein because I really was hungry.
I believe you. Can you tell me what hunger signals, what physical hunger signals you were having?
Empty stomach.
Okay.
Just empty, kind of not gnawing, not growling, just like if I were going to be awake another hour, it would be growling at that point.
Fair. Okay.
But not having enough confidence to do what I did when I was doing the nighttime eating, which was you'll be okay till tomorrow morning. You've had enough. Kind of questioning the am I eating enough protein kind of thing,
What's changed between now and then when you had confidence?
It's the rough. I have hold on, someone's trying to call me. I have seasonal depression, and it's usually the worst. September, October is usually the worst,
Okay.
and it kind of goes into Christmas sometimes. And my knee has been bothering me, so I haven't been getting as much cardio. That's
Okay.
when that's where my endorphins come is the cardio. And so I've just been doing weights.
Yeah.
Those are two things. My daughter, who is actually home, is no longer working and she's here a lot.
Okay.
Very stressful. Very stressful for
Yeah.
me personally. So
Yeah.
those things have changed.
Those are legit factors. So there's some emotional factors that have changed. It's some seasonal depression. You're not exercising as much for valid reasons, and you've got, a child who's home in your space, and so forth. How is that, those emotional things, how are those emotional things impacting your confidence that like you can potentially make it through the night if you don't eat?
That's a good question. I'm not pausing. Like, I'm not realizing it. Usually I'll kind of ping pong. There's no ping ponging going on. There's no pause. It's just like, need to hit the floor, go get something. That's what's kind of throwing me for a loop, I think,
Okay.
is what happened. Okay, maybe it's a Maybe it's the red line on the subway and the blue line. It feels like I've gone backwards on that pathway in my brain. I've
Okay.
gone back to, oh, you need to have something to eat, you'll feel better.
And why would that be really normal right now?
That's how I've dealt with stress before.
And you have some stressors going on.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So again, it's not a character flaw. It's not a weakness. It is you have some environmental and emotional things have changed, and your brain is like, eek. Let's help Audrey feel better. What helps us feel better? That old familiar red line.
Yeah, and I think the knee pain, I finally agreed after taking my 2-year-old granddaughter to the pumpkin patch last week that it is time for me to say, yes, I will consider knee replacement surgery. I've been avoiding it. And so that's not that I don't like that.
Okay. So let's just kind of map out the landscape. For you did a ton of amazing work on emotional eating and nighttime eating, and you were pausing at night saying, am I really hungry? And even if I feel a little bit of hungry, I feel confidence that I can go to bed and my body will take care of
Yeah,
itself through
feed
morning.
off
I'm
my
okay.
stomach or hips, and we'll be fine.
Okay. Environmental and emotional factors have changed. You have a little bit more stress, and your brain is just looking for a little more comfort. Is that the need, do you think? A little bit more.
Yeah, probably it's somewhat of a boredom, connection, comfort. I'm in the house a lot alone,
Okay.
and I usually am proactive about it. I just haven't been.
Okay. So now that we've kind of looked at this scenario, it's not necessarily that like you're mysteriously hungrier at night. It's more like, oh, you're probably, I could be wrong, but probably the same level of hunger that you were before. You're just talking to yourself a little differently for valid reasons,
I'm
emotional
taking the
factors.
wrong subway line.
You're taking an old familiar subway line.
Yeah.
So, what do you want to choose to do differently now moving forward?
Well, I'm wondering, I'm very weird about my notebooks and my tote bags and things all being organized and separate. And this one's for this, and this one's for this. And I can't journal because my journal's in there. I'm wondering if having like something like this by my bed, that my pause is to quickly ping pong on paper.
I like that plan. Let's go, give me a little bit more context. When you have this twinge of hunger, this empty stomach feeling, are you already in bed? Are
I'm
you
in
awake
bed
for it?
watching TV,
Okay, great. So
but I haven't passed out yet. So.
that would make sense.
Melatonin has not kicked in.
So then having that piece of paper by your bed would be a great place because that's where you physically already are. Okay. So maybe I love experimenting. Maybe for this next week, you experiment with when you feel that twinge of hunger, that empty stomach feeling in the night, you can tell yourself, this is the pause plus permission. I can totally go eat, have my protein shake, have whatever I want after I write down my thoughts. And what do you think would be the thoughts that you want to write down? Is it like what's stressing you out? Is it just, here is the urge I'm having? What do you think?
Well, I hadn't had any problem with discovery sheets the next morning. So I'm just not pausing. So maybe if I in my mind saying, okay, we're kind of filling out if you take a bite, what would you say on the discovery sheet kind of thing? Is this mindless? Are you hungry? You know, is this emotional? I need to probably stop and ask myself, can you make it to breakfast? Do you need a glass of water?
Great question.
And I keep
Maybe.
water by my bed, but sometimes it's empty. So I may need to ask myself those questions and have like I need to have these are the choices. Going outside and taking a walk in the freezing cold is not going to happen at 9 o'clock at night. So that's not a choice.
I think that's wise.
I'm too tired to do any kind of really movement or anything like that. So I'm thinking, really asking myself, what am I? And given, maybe go back to the water and weight. And
Okay.
maybe go brush my teeth or lay out my clothes for tomorrow or do some small task.
Yeah. I would encourage you to play around with two or three questions, and maybe they're the same every night, maybe they are different, that land for you. So you ask yourself, can I make it till breakfast? That sounds like a great question. Another question you could consider is, what's this hunger about? Is it emotional or is it physical? One thing, this isn't really a question, but one thing that I have found helpful to me is like, the food or drink that I want isn't going to solve the thing that I'm worried about or the thing that I'm stressing about. For me, frequently, it's like food doesn't fix tired. That's one that resonates for me. So pick one that resonates for you and be like, what do I actually need right now? Can I make it to breakfast? If I just pause and wait 5 minutes, what would happen? And then just kind of check in and experiment with that for a week. Again, giving yourself permission that like if I'm still hungry 5 minutes, 10 minutes later, I can totally have it. But you're giving yourself the gift of that pause.
Should I also have choices like that time of night? Here's my choices: nuts, protein shake, cheese, or something like that, so that I'm not, because what I have been doing, I keep candy I don't like here for my tutoring students. So what I have here for my tutoring students, you leave, you get a piece of candy. Whoop-de-woo, not a big deal, but you leave, you get a piece of candy. I have leftover Halloween candy. I'm eating stuff that I would never even buy.
Okay.
I mean, I like a Tootsie Roll out of that whole package. That's really the only thing I like. But why am I eating the dots that stick to my teeth that I don't even care for?
Yeah.
So it was more of a, I don't really know what it was.
That's it. So I think, a minute ago you said, should I give myself choices? And I think what you're getting at is the broccoli question, which I heard you ask earlier, like, would I eat broccoli right now? Basically, it's like at a time of night when I don't really want to eat, I only want to eat if I'm legit hungry. I'm going to give myself a limited number of options. It's not like whatever I want, because if your brain's like, yay, candy, that may not be a hunger thing. So I do like the idea of
And
it's only
it's
this or
a,
that.
I can grab that. Something else I might have to microwave or stir.
Sure.
It's so a pack of nuts or something like that would still be a grab.
Yeah. My go-to in the night is like I rarely eat at night, but if it's a legit hunger, it's a hard-boiled egg. I'm like, that's not exciting. It's nutritious, and it's like
You
that
just
is
have
definitely
some
going to hit
ready.
the hunger, but it's not going to hit the like I'm just noshy. I'm just, munchy for something.
Yeah, see, Chris, you said apples. I can do apple. I buy this pre-sliced. It's more expensive, but I use them, so it's worth it to me. And I can do a peanut butter dip for protein if I'm hungry. Like apples, and I do the little individual cups. Okay, I just need a plan.
There you go.
Action plan for if I get back on the different subway.
Right. Yeah. And getting back on the old subway, that's not wrong. It's just old familiar. It's just a signal that your brain's saying, hey, we have a need here. We want to feel comforted. We feel a little bit, outside of our window of tolerance. And your brain's like, oh, food is what does that for us. And you can then redirect back to the new subway line by taking that pause, by intentionally asking yourself those questions and being like, can I make it to breakfast? How hungry am I actually? And is this just about feeling?
Main, I'm so visual. I can just set, pretend I'm looking up and going, you're on the green line. I don't even know. All I know about subways is the Atlanta airport and Orlando airport. I don't live in a big city, but I could just, I'm on the wrong line. I need to get off at the next stop.
There you go. And again, I want to encourage you. I don't know how much this matters, but like words do influence our thoughts. And so I get what you're saying, like I'm on the wrong line. It's not the wrong line. Your brain is trying to help you. It's helping you do it's like a love letter to like
We flew there 5 years ago. We're flying somewhere else this time.
there you go. It's like
Again.
I want to
Okay.
redirect to a different line, to the line I choose, not the line that, I default to.
Makes sense.
Nice.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Audrey. It's so lovely to see you
Think
again.
about five other things so we could keep chatting, but I know you have other hands raised, so.
Well, I got one other hand raised, and I'll talk with Cheryl, and if nobody else raises their hand, raise your hand again.
Bye.
Bye. Great to see you, my friend.
You
Take
too.
care. That's so fun. Oh, y'all, this is the second group coaching call I've gotten a chance to do today. I got a chance to coach with the business membership, and it was so much fun. These group coaching calls are really a blast. Oh, and I have some ask Q&As. I'll get to Q&As after Cheryl. Very good. Hey, Cheryl. Oops, you're still muted.
Hey, that helped,
Hi.
right?
Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
Great. How are you tonight?
I'm well. I'm well. I have my dog at my side, pawing me, my 85-pound dog pawing me.
What is your 85-pound
Oh, now
snuggle
she's
ball thing?
pawing the door. I'm in the bedroom. My husband's in the living room watching TV. So of
Okay.
course she has to follow me. But now she might want to go out, so I'm going to open the door for her. Sorry.
All good. What's her name?
Honey. Honey.
Wow.
And
That's
she is a sweetheart.
a lot
She's
of
a
love. 85 pounds of
sweetheart. Honey,
love. Look at
say
that.
hi.
Hi,
Oh, she's a little kind of possessive, you know? She wants attention
Yeah.
all the time.
Yeah.
She's lucky I'm retired, so. She gets that most of the time. Okay. So I just wanted to say I heard Audrey mention about she's been putting off her knee surgery, her knee replacement. I had both of mine replaced in 2020 during the pandemic, and it's the best thing I ever did.
Wow.
So I strongly encourage anybody to do it because it's a life changer. So that was that. And so it's really funny. I always thought, like, I don't know why I thought this, but I thought that I was the only person, literally, like, that would be good all day and eat healthy and do all the things, and then at night want to eat. Not only want to eat, but eat, you know. Used to be pudding cups and ice cream and stuff like that. And then when I realized I hear people on different forums speaking about nighttime eating, I'm like, what? This is like crazy. So I can count maybe on two hands the amount of nights I have not had
Okay.
an issue with it. And the only way I'm able to lose weight is, I just choose better nighttime eating, but I'd really like to be one of those people that cuts off at like 7 o'clock and, that's it. Now, the other thing I'm conflicted about is on a call this past week, trying to remember who it was. I'm very bad with names, but I actually put in the Q&A. It was a Q&A that I was also a member of Weight Watchers, and I felt conflicted about it, but I felt good about it because I don't like let things that conflict bother me because I'm not obsessive about counting calories and counting points.
Right.
That to me, all the things that we've learned in No BS are kind of the guiding force.
Yeah, and so how does this all relate to nighttime eating and the challenges you have at night?
So that's interesting because what was said in this, when I asked the question, if I was like being like delusional thinking I could do the two things at once. And she said that you can do it, but just know that whatever you do to lose weight, it should be something you could do for the rest of your life.
Right.
And that really like hit me because I've never, even though I know that technically, I've never really thought about it. And one thing
that I would like to do for the rest of my life is have a drink in the evening, okay? A cocktail or a glass of wine.
Right.
Because, and I don't want to have more than one, because supposedly one is the good sweet spot and it won't, in any way. However, sometimes when I do have it, it leads me to munching on other things. You know what I mean?
Okay. So can we narrow this down to like, is there a specific question? Is it about alcohol? Is it about
Well, the question is it reasonable to think that you could just have a drink every day and not let it get lead you to nighttime eating?
So the short answer is yes, absolutely. The longer question is, what is it about having a drink that leads you to eat more?
That's a very good question. I would say it just maybe it relaxes me so much that my senses are, I get in that kind of mode of happy hour. I don't know. Because I really do, I don't like to have the drink too late.
Okay.
I'd really rather have it like it's 5 o'clock somewhere, that time. And then I'll want to have, but I did like, I made a really, I made a guacamole and peas kind of dip that was healthy. And I had a few chips with it, which was not bad. And I had some cottage cheese, sounds weird, cottage cheese and pineapple. Just because I made like a little one of those silly plates with a combination of things. And that was fine. But I don't do that all the time. Sometimes I'll grab other stuff.
So, I want you to tell me if this is not necessarily landing on the challenge. But what I'm hearing you say is you want to live a lifestyle where you can have a glass of something in the evening. And one is probably good enough for you, maybe two on occasion, but you don't want that to lead to extra eating. However, you ha have noticed a pattern that when you have a glass of something, you tend to eat a little more. Everybody who's listening, listen up. If you can notice a pattern, that means it's not a surprise. It didn't come out of nowhere. If it isn't a surprise, you can expect it. If you can expect it, you can plan for it. So, Cheryl, tomorrow, let's say you wanted to have a glass, a cocktail, and you were planning, you were expecting your brain to say, you know what? After I've had this cocktail, some more food looks good. How would you plan ahead for that?
Okay, so I would have the things available, prepped that I could have that I wouldn't regret having.
Okay.
Okay. Like I bought those carrot chips, you know what I'm talking about? Real carrots that they're, and I have that. I'm so proud of that guacamole and peas thing because it just seems like it's got fiber and it's just very healthy. It doesn't make me feel, whatever. But then I'm always tempted. Maybe I will. I'll plan for a couple of crackers. I have, healthy whole seed, whatever, crackers, and then something sweet because I that's my other big issue. Oh, there's a part B or C or D of this. I also wanted to see what your thoughts were. This is going after the candy challenge. Today I was in the store and I saw a giant bar of, it's for Christmas, this fancy dark chocolate with mint inside, and I thought if they're in little squares and one square is a fourth of a serving. And I thought, I would like to get this. I got it, but I would like to have one little piece every night, just as my like ender for the day. Because it's mint and it's chocolate.
Sure.
To me, those are like the two, because I feel like I want something sweet. And honestly, I mean, I'm 68 years old. It's really hard to like change. I've changed a lot in the last, say, 18 years, but I still want a little something sweet at the end of the day. But I
That's
don't
well,
want.
what's the problem with that? Why is that a
There
problem?
isn't a problem. That's what I'm wondering. Is that something reasonable that I can do? I'm not,
So I can answer that question for you, Cheryl, but frankly, I think you should answer that question for you. You want to tr you it's your life. You get to make up the rules. Now, what I want you to think about is like you're making choices and choices have results. You can choose to stop eating at 7 and that's going to have a result. You can choose to have a cocktail and a little square of mint chocolate and that's going to have a result. Are you okay with the result? It looks like we're frozen. Hopefully we're back. For example, I choose to have a glass of wine and
It
a square of chocolate.
frozen came back. Can you hear me?
Great. Yeah. So you get to choose what works for your life. I choose to have a glass of wine and a square of chocolate every night. And I am okay with the
It's
results.
frozen.
And so you get to decide. So my answer to you is yes, you can have that, but I want you to choose for yourself. Am I good with the results of my choices? And I want you to think about that because it's not about what does Weight Watchers tell me I can do? What does No BS tell me I can do? It's more about what are the choices that I want to experiment with? What results does that create? And if it creates results that I don't like, what am I willing to tweak? It's not about, good or bad, right or wrong. It's more, where am I willing to tweak?
Right. I see. Yeah. That makes sense. That does make sense.
And if you find yourself wanting a cocktail, having a cocktail, and then eating more than you're happy with, expect it. Plan ahead. I know when I have a cocktail, I'm going to want more food. So how am I going to prepare for that? You mapped out a great plan earlier. Pre-prep foods that you're okay with. How do you decide you're done eating? For me, it's a cup of tea and I'm done. And like that's sort of like my mental signal. And so if you can create a mental signal that like after X, I am done eating, go brush your teeth, how can you kind of put in some extra kind of mental guardrails, routines to help you say, I've had what I wanted and now I'm done.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. And like you say, I mean, I just, when I say if I can do it, I know it's up to me if I can do it, but is it something that makes sense, which you said it does if it does to me, right?
It's your life.
So, see, this is the thing. I take from everything, whatever podcast I listen to, whatever. And I really think, even though that candy challenge, I started out great and then I ended up not great, but that's fine. I still got something from it, And I kind of would like to, since we're, this is my really tough season as a retired teacher. The once Halloween came, that was just, the worst time. The worst time of the year, not the happiest time of the year, as far as eating junk and candy,
And so now that you're retired, how do you want to choose to, support yourself during that time? Because, all those urges are signals saying that, like, I have a need. What's the need?
Well, one of them is to have a drink every evening. I feel like I'm entitled to that.
Even the urge for a drink is signaling a need to relax. To rest, and if you choose, like I do sometimes, to choose to meet that need with a drink, great. It's your life. It's only a problem if you ha if it's not creating results that you like.
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I have to admit, when you said you have a hard-boiled egg at night, I was like, what? I couldn't
Oh,
imagine.
for the record, that is like if I wake up at 2 in the morning and I think I'm
Oh,
hungry.
okay.
Yeah, that's not dinner.
No, not dinner, but just like an evening, I would be like, I don't know. Maybe a deviled egg. I don't
Let me be more clear. So I have my dinner. I have a
Right.
glass of wine like you do, at, cocktail hour. I'm done drinking by 6. Had
Okay.
dinner. I have a piece of chocolate and I have my tea.
Oh, okay.
The hard-boiled egg is like if I wake up at 1 in the morning, I'm like, I
Yes.
think I'm hungry. I'm like, are you
Okay.
sure? Could you eat a hard-boiled egg? Usually
Yeah.
the answer is no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad I got
Thanks for
that.
asking for clarification on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Do you feel like you got what you were looking for?
Yes, very
Cool.
much so. And I'm going to go for it starting tonight. Did I have a drink? I didn't have a drink today. I don't know. I might skip it because it's already 7 o'clock. You know what I did? I literally made a mocktail
Okay.
with some seltzer and a splash of cranberry because I thought I didn't want to be like having a drink on this call.
Yeah, fair enough. It's all
Yeah.
about choices and results that you're looking for.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Cheryl. Great to talk to you tonight.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Very nice. All right, we've got Yolanda is coming up, and as Yolanda's coming up, we'll get to some Q&A. So Anonymous says, so I don't think I can hop on because I'm still working. I'll be late. I want a drink every day. Some days I can't, sorry, I can find something else to fill the want. Many days, though, I don't. I don't want to feel the emotions that come in when I stop at night, and wine numbs it all. And once I have it, it's hard to stop. I'm scared of finding out why I have these emotions, and I think it varies. It isn't one thing. Sometimes it's stress from work, sometimes it's being sad my parents are aging. And then she continued again. Sometimes it's overwhelm with life with 3 teenagers, a spouse that has his own health issues, money, just feeling it all so much all the time. Wine and sometimes cider and mixed drinks keep me from wanting to scream or cry or throw things and all the above. Anonymous, I feel you. While I did not have the same stressors, I certainly had plenty, particularly when my husband was deployed, and I'm not proud of some of the choices I made. But I definitely drank to not feel. And I also woke up every morning at 2-ish with a ton of shame. And I finally got tired of that. And I got tired of it. So what I did when I said I got tired of it, I got tired of shaming myself over it. So my first step was self-compassion. And so that is where I would encourage you to start. Self-compassion is the way through because you cannot shame yourself into change. So you're having that urge for alcohol is a signal. It's saying, I have a need. I am overwhelmed. I'm feeling so much. I don't even know what to do with it. Alcohol just makes it go quiet for a minute. And let me tell you, I have been there. It's okay. So start with self-compassion and just be like, of course, I would want to numb this. How would I treat a friend who was in a similar situation? Would I judge them? Would I shame them? Or would I say, honey, of course you feel that way. You're doing the best you can. So start there with self-compassion. And then I would say, on those days when you're feeling a lot, frankly, any day, I would encourage you to pick a time of day. Maybe it's like when you're on your way home from work, when you're in the car, and try this exercise. Say, what am I feeling? And any answer is okay. Just a one-word answer. I'm feeling sad, frustrated, overwhelmed. Just one word. Step two, I'm allowed to feel that way. I don't even have to know why I'm feeling that way. Overwhelm is allowed to be here. I'm allowed to feel overwhelmed. Take a big deep breath. Whoosh it out. Do that 5 times. The feeling that comes up when you ask, what am I feeling? It can be the same. I'm feeling overwhelmed, or it could be different. A lot of times our feelings are layered. Sometimes, like the third, fourth, fifth time you ask that, you get to kind of the root of like, I'm feeling afraid. I'm feeling scared. I'm feeling worried. And it just releases some of that tension, and it gives you a little bit of compassion by saying, I am allowed to feel this. I'm a human. Of course, I would feel overwhelmed. Of course, I would feel afraid or worried. So that's what I would encourage you to try. Number one, give yourself some compassion, self-compassion. What would you tell a friend? Number two, pick a consistent time of day and just ask yourself, what am I feeling? I'm allowed to feel that way. Take a big deep breath, whoosh it out, do it four more times, and just see if that helps you support yourself. I'm here for you, my friend. And please, please, please type into the Ask Coaches. You can ask for me specifically. You can ask for any of us. Many of us coaches have dealt with alcohol, other kinds of things like that, nighttime eating, and so forth. So thank you for writing in. And Yolanda, thank you for your patience while I was answering that Ask Coaches question. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks for raising your hand.
Sure. I was like, okay, just do it.
Yeah.
So my quick backstory, I work from home, empty nester, single, kind of a loner, kind of not. Like I just have a like real small circle. And I have found that I overeat a lot in the evening. And so I'm just newly hopping back on the wagon. And I was trying to do some discovery, like, okay, why am I eating at night? Things like that. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm bored. So I decided, like, okay, I didn't decide. I figured out that I was leaving home because I wanted to go get fast food because it was like, oh, it was like when you leave work and you go, I have to go home, but I'm already here. So I'm like, oh, I'm leaving to go get some food, you know, and realizing that I was not making the best food choices. And I was like so hungry that I was like, okay, I'm gonna have a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and a little bit of this. And I just emotionally overeat and I come home and I sit in front of the TV and I just stuff my face. And so I was like, okay, be smarter about the foods that you want. So I started grocery shopping a little bit differently, not being so restrictive, getting things that I knew that I would enjoy, like a burger or chili or like Hot Pockets, you know, things that I knew that I would be okay with instead of spending the money to go buy food. But then I was still left with this feeling after work. I'm like, oh, you know, and then I'm like, am I bored? You know, the way that I unwind is I like to watch TV and just kind of sink myself into like Schitt's Creek or like I just started Mike and Molly, like funny things that I don't really have to think about. But then later I find myself, I still walk over to the fridge, even though I bought a cute little, you know, the kitchen is closed sign. I go into my fridge and I'm like, what do we have in here? You know, and I get bored and I start grabbing little things here and there, healthy or not healthy. And I'm like sitting eating, knowing that I'm not hungry, but not knowing like what else to do. So then I listen to some of the chats and things like that. And I go back and I'm like, okay, well, I need to fill my time with something else. Not to not feel that boredom, but to like, I accepted that I don't have much to do. I was like, well, I can fix stuff around the house. Like, there's so many things I could do around the house. But then I'm like, well, but that's work. That's more work after work. And I can't quite get myself to the place of it's okay to sit around and do nothing and not feel bad about it, not feel lazy that like there's things I could have done around the house. Like I can't find that thing that makes me go, oh, instead of eating, if that makes sense.
What is so there's lots that you said in there, but
Sorry.
what really kind of caught my attention was like that voice that says I don't feel okay with just sitting and relaxing and not doing something productive. And I feel like I'm putting words in your mouth, so I'd love for you to correct me where I'm wrong.
No, not at all. I've always struggled with that, and I've been trying to be okay with just taking care of me and letting myself zone out on the silly TV and not feel like I always have to be doing something. Like I have two jobs and I try to not be a workaholic. I try to like turn it off as soon as I'm done with both jobs and like not think about anything. But there's always like that underlying voice, like you should be doing something. You should be fixing the house or making curriculums for the kids or exercising or doing like go. Like I picked up hiking in the month of October And I did this like challenge, and it was like every Sunday, every Sunday. I was driving up to Wisconsin. I live in Illinois to do this. And it was fun and it was relaxing and I loved it and it very much felt me. But now with the time change, I'm like, well, now I can't even do that. Like, I can maybe on Sunday, but not in the evening.
Well, let me ask you something. The voice says I should be doing something productive. Says who?
Just the noise in my head. Like I don't have, I think maybe it's just probably some upbringing. I'm also a martial artist, so of course I have like instructors and things that are pretty influential in my life that are always like out there changing the world, every minute. And I know I don't have it in me to do that,
Okay.
16 hours a day. I just can't. I can't do my
Yeah.
regular job and my part-time job
Right. And your
6 days a
martial
week.
artist instructors, potentially, like that is their regular job.
Well, I mean that, so my part-time job, I work from home and I'm a trainer, like training people on their new job.
Yeah.
But then my part-time job, that's my passion, the martial arts, the instruction. I do
Okay.
that one night a week and on a Saturday. So it's hard to turn that part of me off, I think, and be okay with not changing the world, the other 5 days a week, 5 evenings, I should say.
That's a big ask to change the world 7 nights a week.
Yeah, it is. Ooh, sorry.
Is some emotion coming up?
Yes.
I'm curious about that. Do you know why?
I think because of like that title that I've had since, like, not since I was 16. I've been doing it since I was 16, but since I became an instructor. I think about how nasty the world is right now. Like, this is probably way too big for my own shoulders, but like the 5 hours a week I spend with my students, the adults, the kids, it's like I want to be that little bit of light for them. And I love it, but like I can't make a living that way. I have to do my other job. So I look at like other instructors who are totally in a different place than I am. Like, they're either the business owner or kids in their 20s who are just doing that.
Right.
And can do only that, and I can't. I gotta pay the bills, right?
Right.
So I do feel that guilt when I sit and watch TV and just relax and not be constantly doing that part of me. Like it's a huge part of my identity.
So,
Whew,
tell
did
me
not know
this.
that was gonna sneak out. Sorry.
Well, first of all, I just want to thank you. Like, I feel like it is a huge blessing when something comes up and we're like, oh, dang, I didn't know where that came from. That's like, this is the juicy stuff. This is so good. So, thank you very much. And thank you also for being that light in the world, those couple of hours a week. That's amazing because only you can bring your version of light. It's like that light is through the lens of Yolanda. So, that is, thank you for doing that. What I want to ask though is so, who is somebody in who you admire who are like that person brings the light? Who is that?
Oh, I have a lot of people like that.
Okay. Can you just tell me one?
Any specific kind of one? Like, do you mean like a friend or like a fellow instructor or?
Let's go with a fellow instructor since we're kind of along that lines.
Okay. Sure. I mean, there's the owner of the business, which that's like his life. He does it all the time. Or like my son, actually, he's a fellow instructor with me. He's old enough to teach now. So we both
That's so
teach, and it's
cool. Wow.
amazing. Like self-defense, he makes me want to cry just because he's 19 and he's killing it, and
Oh,
doing
that's
following
awesome.
his passion, out of his own choice. So I guess I would say either one of those two or maybe another coach.
Okay.
Same thing. They're kind of like the coaches are kind of in their 20s.
Well, let's look at both the owner and your son. The owner, if the owner just like was on 12 hours a day, 5, 6, 7 nights a week, what would happen?
Oh, he'd probably be a very cranky man. I
What
would
would happen to
assume,
his
right? If
light?
somebody's on that lo on that often,
Yeah. What would happen to the light that he brings?
probably get dimmer.
Maybe a little bit. It would be hard for him to show up the way he wants to
100%.
all the
Yeah.
time. Yeah. Tell me about your son. Is your son always on?
No. I mean, he's 19, so he's a lot of energy, but he has his full-time job, doing like appliance and stuff repair, and then he comes with me the 2 days a week, and we drive out to our location to teach. But no, I
Wait.
would say he's not always on.
Okay. Have you witnessed your son resting?
Oh yeah. Oh yes.
Most moms have.
Yes.
And what are your thoughts about his time taking rest?
Well, I mean, I think he needs it. He needs it because he's a new dad too. So he's got a 1.5 year old.
Wow.
So he's killing it, like
Yeah.
working ton like three jobs, tumbling and karate and his full-time job to make ends meet and provide for his girlfriend and his daughter.
Yeah.
So I get it now. I urge him to rest. I'm like, you need you time. You need to go out with your
Oh,
friends. You need to
okay.
just sit and be with her and play outside and do whatever.
So where am I going with this?
I need to do that for myself and be okay.
What's different about you? Why should the owner of the business be allowed to rest? Why should your son very intentionally take rest, but not you?
I don't know. I don't have a good reason. I don't, I guess I should be able to be okay with it.
Yeah. And I really want to again thank you for talking about like being a light. And I'm going to circle back to that in a minute based on something in the chat. But like, Yolanda, that is such a gift that you bring to the world. And for you to shine in the way that does light other people up, you need to be rested. It's like, what do you do with your phone at night?
What time? I
You
mean,
plug it
eventually I
in,
turn it off
right?
if I'm not Facebook scrolling or, watching something.
But you
Yeah.
plug it in, you charge it.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I do.
Why do you charge your phone?
Because it's gonna die.
And you want it to work, you want
Right.
it to light up. So, what would it take for you to allow yourself at night the gift to rest with no guilt?
Don't know. I'd have to figure it out.
How about this? Just like I said to one of the other people we talked about, let's experiment. So this week, when you are chilling, you're watching your TV, and there's that whisper that says, I should be doing something productive. I want you to balance it and ping pong it. Ping pong basically just means I'm talking back to that thought. So I want you to talk back to the thought that says I should be doing something productive. What you say back to it is, would I tell my son that he should be doing something productive when he's resting?
Okay.
And if you would not, if you would say, no, my son needs to rest, then like maybe you could too.
Right.
You want to try that for a week?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Amazing.
Thank you. Sorry, I was like, whew.
Hey, I'm a crier too. I love it. I just really appreciate you just kind of bringing your full self. That was amazing.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. And thank you for all the chat comments. I
Yeah,
appreciate them.
absolutely. Yeah, getting so many hearts, so many loves. Thank you so much, Yolanda. I appreciate it. Thanks
Thank
for raising your
you.
hand tonight.
Appreciate your help. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good stuff. Great. Oh, everyone. What good stuff, huh? I love how Yolanda was talking about like she wants to bring a light to the world. Like, boy, could we use some more of that? And each one of you has that opportunity to be a light, whether it is smiling at the grocery clerk, whether it is in the work that you do, whether it is being a caregiver to your child, to your parent, to whatever you do. Like, there is only one you. You have a one of a kind fingerprint for a reason. Not because you're a mistake, not because you're broken, but because you are very intentional on purpose. You're here for a reason, and it is to be you. And so give yourself the gift of saying, like, yeah, I'm allowed to rest. I'm allowed to be me. I'm allowed to love myself and give myself some compassion, give myself a little grace. I said that I was going to circle back to what Yolanda was saying, just as Christy wrote in the chat. There was some conversation in the chat about my book. I have written a book in 2022. It's called You Are a Miracle. My next book, which is called Light. The new Psychology of Weight Loss is coming out on January 6th. Normally, I wouldn't have mentioned it, but it just happened to be in the chat and we happened to be talking about light. And so it's all kind of related to weight loss, shining your light, all that kind of stuff. So thank you for the interest in that in the chat. And I just appreciate all of you, Nobius women. It is such a gift to get a chance to coach with you, to be a part of your lives. You're a blessing. Get out there, love yourself, and we will talk to you later. Take care. Bye.